Christmas swag, and so similar to what we heard last week, what I'm going to say, a lot of it is from Ry Packer, who I'm learning with, so I think even more of what I'm not going to say, Ry Packer has halachim relating to this, so that's just, but you know, anything that's said I take responsibility for, and the chulei. Okay, so I always thought there was one Ava Bor. You read the Mishnah, sounds from the Mishnah like, you know, there's four Avos, one of them is Bor, and it would be simple. But of course, the Gemara and Daf Gimel complicates that a little bit, and we're trying to figure out what Rav Papa meant when he said that some Avos have told us they're Kiyotzebehem and some have that are not, and you know, what's not Kiyotzebehem. So we want to suggest that Rav Papa is talking about Bor. So this is Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. I put it on for our sheet. Can't find it, you don't have a Gemara or whatever. B'chik Amar Rav Papa, Atol de Bor. Right, we suggest that Rav Papa is talking about Atol de Bor. And Atol de Bor, my niv. What is the Atol de Bor? Ilei ma'av yud b'tol de tes. So we suggest that there's a av of Bor for 10 tfachim, Atol de 9, lo tes ksivir, lo yud ksivir. Doesn't say either one befeirish in the Torah. Presumably there's no such distinction. Hello, Kashya. So we know there is a distinction. Amez Yelo Amarachmana, Vikinli Rabbanan, Yudav Din Misa, Tes Nizigan Avdi, Misa Lo Avdi. We have a basis for the distinction because it says Amez Yelo. It's clearly talking about dying. So that's presumably talking about Yud and not Tes. So the Pasuk is talking about Yud. That's the Av. Tes is the Tolda. And the Din of Tes is different than Yud. So that's Tolda Sam. Lav Kyotzven, the term Misa by Tes. But then we respond, Sof. Is that Avla Misav? Is that Avla Nezikin? But that doesn't work to say that it's an Avla Tolda because Zet Avla Misav is Zet Avla Nezikin. You wouldn't end up with a distinction in terms of the Av status of Yud and Tess. Ella, we find a different Tolda to suggest Avla Nezikin Maso, Shenifan Rishus Harabim, Veziku. So it's clear that something shifts in terms of the Av Tolda status of Yid and Tess, we thought at one point was a Tolda. At the end, it's not a Tolda. What's less clear is what actually is the Maskana. When we say, Zet Avla Misav, Zet Avla Nezikin, what exactly are we suggesting? Probably the most pasha way of reading it, just based on the words, is, you know, there's two separate Avos. Rather than saying one's an Av, one's a Tolda, Zet Avla Misav, Zet Avla Nezikin, each one gets its own Av. Obviously, it's a little complicated how you'll derive that. That we'll see in Rashi. But before we even get to Rashi, the other way of reading it, of course, is that Zeh Av L'Misa and Zeh Av L'Nezikin is, you know, almost like Hainu Av L'Misa, Hainu Av L'Nezikin. It's the same thing. It's one big Av, Tess and Yud. And in a sense, it, you know, are we pulling them together and saying it's really just one big Av, or are we distinguishing them even more than we did in the Havamina? The Havamina was Yud and Tess, or Av and Tolda. Av and Tolda have some connection. They're not the same thing. But then we say Zeh Av L'Misa, Zeh Av L'Nezikin, either we're saying that they're two separate Avos, they're even further apart than we thought previously. Or we're saying, no, it's the same, it's literally the same Av, and we're drawing them closer together. So really opposite ways of reading the Maskana. I thought the reading of saying it's one Av is, you know, even though some Rishonim indicated, as we'll see, but the Rav puts it most explicitly in his, in the Rishimos. Someone puts it in the Rishimos like that. We're not going to read the whole paragraph. It gets into Rashi, which we're going to do in a few minutes. But he says, you know, Gemara mispareshes according to the Pashas. B'pshuta, sheyeshan shtei chaluyos shabor, aleph chefser shabor yud ha-mechuyav al-misa, beis chefser shabor tes ha-pater al-misa, right? Pashas is there's two different avos. And then he says that fits with the first lashon of Rashi. The second lashon of Rashi, he suggests, this verse is like Marakach, Ein Bor Tes Tolda de Bor Yud, Elohi Oso Av Hamazik, Oso Chetzo Shel Bor, Kemo Bor Yud. So maybe there's really one Av. So the question is, what's this Maskana? Are there two Avos of Bor? Is there one Av of Bor? That's the title of the Chabura. Chabura Be'inyan Av or Avos de Bor. It's not fully clear. And of course, this is more than just a technical question about how to count. This very likely will have ramifications in terms of the Mechayim of Bor, how it works, how Yud works versus Tes. And how to understand that, not just about defining Av and Tolda, and that is a whole sugya. One could spend weeks, if not even months, discussing that, I'm told. So, you know, we're not going to get into the details of that, but we're going to use it as a launching point for trying to understand the makar of Bor Tes and Bor Yud and the Mechayev and the relevant svara or whatever else there would be to explain the difference in din. So the place people often first turn, and this is very recently, is Rashi. Rashi has two different lashonos trying to explain the Gemara's maskana, ze'av lemisa ve'ze'av lenezikin. As we saw, the Rav says that relates to whether it's two avos or one av. But let's read Rashi inside. So ve'ze'av lenezikin, de'im nafal shor bebor tisha u'meis, pater balavor. Right. This is the din Mishnah and Daf Nun. The shore falls into a bort tisha and dies. It's pater. Balvor is pater ben huzakai. But for your chayv for nezikin, ve'avhu, then this would be an av. The hamid yuka the kra nafka minichsev amesi yelo. The mashma borasar the bar maktil hu chayv b'misa shore habatzer miachiv b'misa lo chayv haben nezikin mischayv. It's a diuk in the pasuk. The pasuk's talking about misa. Your chayv misa. That must be a bor yud. And presumably, if it's less than yud, that would be you'd be chayv in nezikin. So presumably, there's another av there. Now, this is obviously difficult for Rashi. Rashi throughout likes to say that whether something's an av or not depends on whether it's mefurish b'kra. This is certainly, very far from mefurish b'kra. It's a diuk, but I guess according to this lashon and Rashi, that's good enough. We're somehow medayik from the fact that you're chayv misa by bor yud, that bor tes you're not chayv nothing. You're probably chayv nezikin, and that counts as an av as well. And then the second lashon. We learn them out in the same way. Now, not everyone agrees about this, but as we saw in the Rav, meaning there's one big av from which we learn out both. You have to, right, in the normal case of bor yud, you always pay. Umihu im meis hashor amar rabbanan bebor tisha pater, but by bor tes. Where the shore is mace your pater. The lo machmas habor mace, because the shore didn't die on account of this short boar. The ain bo kidei lahamis, it can't possibly kill. It's not physically possible for a boar test to kill a shore. Aval huzak chayev the boar tisha bar nezikin, but it can damage the shore. So you're chayev for nezikin, but not for misa. So we're going to get to trying to explain this shita and rashi. It's in some sense the center of this chabura, but we're going to put that on hold for now and. Just note the fact that Rashi has two different perushim, which seem to correlate with whether there's one av or two avos of bor. Are we somehow medayik from the psukim that there's an av of bor yud that you're chayv for both misa and nezikin, and somehow we're medayik there's also an av of bor tes where you're chayv just nezikin, or it's one big av, and just in some cases the metzias is that you're not actually responsible. The boar is not responsible for the damage, so you're going to be pater. Now, interestingly, there's a Chassam Sofer who says, he wants to say that there's really only one Lashon in Rashi. He wants to somehow put it all together. Lulad Mistafino, you see Mochek Barashi, Tevos Elu, Lishna Afrina, Sosos Avonis, Zahman Ezekin. We put it all together. The idea is, Shir Dvar of Kahu, the Pasik Mavur Lahedia, Beza Dinim, Dinin Ezekin Dinim Misa, Vashurim She Shneim, Enem Is Parshim, El Shemazar Kasav Lachachamim. Somehow, it's one big thing, but there's a distinction based on Masur and Kasav Chachamim. It's not fully clear to me whether the Chassam Sofer would actually say it's one or two avos. He's trying to take a bit of a middle path, which makes sense given that he's using both halves of Rashi. But it seems like the Chassam Sofer was right to be misdafina about this pshat, because the Tosfos Rush. Presumably had an early and accurate Girsan Rashi, clearly has two different avos. It seems pretty straightforward. The Tosfos Rush in the Shita says, Lishna Kama de Pirish Rashi, Kasha, he doesn't like the first Lashon, we call Makam Asari of Sid Behedya, Havi Av, Tisha, the Nav Gimisfar, Havi told. The question we asked, which is, what's the Makar for an Av for Tisha? It's not Befirish in the Pasuk. The Kol Shar told us, Nav Misfar, Navki. If it's just learned out misvara, then it should be a tolda rather than a second av. L'kachnir compares sheni shvirish Rashi, the second pshat in Rashi, which doesn't seem to have a second av. And this confirms the Rav's reading in Rashi as well. So I think in terms of the question of how many avos, it seems like the two lashonos of Rashi are split over that, and it definitely seems like there are two distinct lashonos in Rashi. So now we're going to ask a parallel question, jumping to Daf Nun, the Mishnah in Perek Hey, which teaches us this din that we're talking about, that there's a Ptur, Misa, Bibor, Tes. What exactly is the Mukar for that din? And that, I think, it's not precisely the same question as whether there's one or two Avos, but it will be very much parallel and possibly connected to the question of those 22 avos, the question of what's the makor for each of these boros. So the Mishnah, source number 7 here, Achover Borosh is a rav, and Avazel Shor, Hamor Chayev, Echad Achover Borosh, Yach Ma'arach Ritz, and Eitzim Chayev, Imkain, Lama Nemar Bor. Why does it say bor as opposed to any, you know, any pit? Why specifically bor? Ma bor, Sheyesh Bo Kedei Lahamis, Asara Tfachim, Av Kol Sheyesh Bo Kedei Lahamis, Asara Tfachim. Just like a boar has, you know, is enough to kill 10 tfachim, so too any other sort of pit which has the ability to kill 10 tfachim. And we learn out from boar to everything else. Boar is not specific, but for some reason, not exactly clear reading this, we have boar in the pasuk. And then it spells out, the din that boar tests, you're only chayav for nezikin. So it's not exactly clear how to read this Mishnah. Actually, you know, the Tosfos and Daf Gimel, Tosfos and Daf Gimel refers to this Mishnah and raises the issue of trying to correlate Rashi on our sugya with Rashi there. Because Rashi there, Rashi and Daf Nun focuses on this idea of Bor being 10 Tfachim, and that's how he reads the Mishnah there, presumably. Ma Bor, Kshesh, B'Leil HaMas, Asar Tfachim. Bor somehow definitionally is 10 Tfachim, and from that we learn Kedei L'Hamis, learn out to everything else. That's at least the way Tosfos reads Rashi there. But Rashi here seems to talk about the difference between Tes and Yud is not whether it Bor is called, you know, what a Stam Bor has, but whether it has Kedei L'Hamis or not. Certainly the second shot in Rashi says that. So that's Tosfos' question. Rashi, is it about the shame, you know, is it about the shame Bor, or is it about the Kedei L'Hamis? He has some more specific questions. How come our Gemara says Lo Yud Ksiv? If according to Rashi, bor means yud, and it says bor, so then it says yud. So, you know, if you take Rashi seriously on Daf Nun, you take Rashi saying it's about bor being 10, then you end up with some problems reading our Gemara. So, you know, leaving aside the details of Tosfos' question, this is the two options we have in terms of the makor for what, how we know that there's a difference lalacha between a bor tes and a bor yud. Which it's really just reading the words in the Mishnah, it's ambiguous. Is it based on bor being asar tefachim, or is it based on kedei lahamis being asar tefachim? What are we bringing to the table beforehand? Because right, neither of those are explicit in the Torah. The Torah says bor. The Torah says kedei lahamis, or cases of misa, and somehow we get to 10 tefachim. But is that because of the definition of bor is 10 tefachim, or is that because kim lulu rabbanan and that kedei lahamis is 10 tefachim? Obviously, we do both, but which one comes first? Right? Which one's driving? Which one's driving our limud? And in fact, if you look at the Rishonim there, they seem to take different paths. Fairly explicitly, the different Rishonim have different ways of reading that Mishnah. If you look at the Ravid, this will be we'll start with the Ra'ah, source number 8 here, just the second half of it. Hachi ka'amar im kain lama namar bor b'Torah. Why do we need to say bor lav dafka? Not specifically bor. El kishim shechiva Torah bor kishi yeshbo kedei lahamis. You're only chayav and bor in a situation where it has kedei lahamis. Behindu asar tefachim. Of course, that kimli rabban is 10 tefachim. Kedichsiv amesi yelo. We know the pesukim we're talking about kedei lahamis from amesi yelo. Av kol sheyeshbo kedei lahamis asar tefachim. Which is not really explaining why it says bor. It's explaining why it says kedei lahamis. Kedei lahamis, or the description there of an animal dying. Because that's what we learn out. That's the defining factor. Whereas if you look at the Ravid, he changes the gears a little bit. He says velo nomar bor, you know, slightly stronger. Why, you know, we shouldn't say bor at all. And then again, towards the end of the piece, lefichach nilmod mi bor ma bor stamo asara tfachim. We know that a bor is 10 tfachim. That's why it says bor v'yesh ba'asara kedei lahamis. And since a bor is 10 tefachim, we then extrapolate. 10 tefachim is kedei lahamis, so that we now figure out that's the principle. The haksiv amezi yelo v'gomer, and that's in the psukim. Af elu, so too for these non-bor pits, basar, sheish ben kedei lahamis, that's also the din that it needs to be 10 tefachim, which is kedei lahamis. So it's clear from the Ravid that he's learning it out from bor. The bor means 10 tefachim, right? And what's interesting about Rashi, Tosfos was focused on one half of Rashi, but actually the Lashon and Rashi parallels. There are two Rashis here in source 10, each of which parallel almost word for word, the drushes of both the Ra'ah and the Ravid. So Rashi, Stambor Asar Tvachim, right, which we saw in the Ravid, Mabor Stambor Asar Tvachim. Then the next Rashi says, Mabor Sheshbuk De Lohamis, Dehainu Yud Tvachim, which we saw in the Ra'ah. Right? Mabor Kishiyeshbuk De Lohamis, Dehainu Asar Tvachim. We're saying that Kedei Lahamis is the equivalent of Asar Tvachim. So you can really be Medayik and Rashi either way. Obviously, Tosfos thought that Stam Bor was the stronger vehicle, though that created problems for Rashi in our Sugya. But however you take Rashi, it seems fairly clear that the Ra'ah and the Ravid have different makoros. Are we learning out this difference between 10 and 9, between Yud and Tes, from the definition of Bor or from the meaning of Kedei Lahamis? I think you can also see you could even die one way or the other based on the Piskei Rid. There's two Gersos in the Piskei Rid. Whether he quotes the Mishnah as saying Mabor Shehu Kedei Lahamis Asar Tvachim or Sheyeshbo Kedei Lahamis. Obviously, Sheyeshbo Kedei Lahamis is our Mishnah, but if you had the lesson of Shehu Kedei Lahamis, that might be definitional to Bor. Right? The Bor is Kedei Lahamis Asar Tvachim. So the definition of Bor is what's getting us the Drasha. On the other hand, there's actually two different Gersos in our Mishnah. You look, Yerushalmis have the alternative Gersa, and actually most of the manuscripts do too, for those who are interested in these things, it doesn't say Mabor Sheyeshbo Kedei Lahamis Asar Tvachim, it says Mabor Sheyeshbo Kedei Lahamis Ad Asar Tvachim. Right, now think about that. If you say Mabor Sheyeshbo Kedei Lahamis Ad Asar Tvachim, it's very hard to read that as defining a Bor. Bor is 10 Tvachim, just like a Bor is Kedei Lahamis up until 10 Tvachim, right? 30, 20, 10. That wouldn't be a definition of a boar. That's the definition of what Kedei Lahamis is, right? Mabor Kedeshbo Kedei Lahamis. A boar can kill Ad Asar Tvachim, right? Any big numbers all the way until 10 Tvachim, a boar can kill. Less than that, a boar can't kill. But there's nothing about the definition of boar here. It's just about Kedei Lahamis. The range of Kedei Lahamis goes from, you know, infinity to 10. Ad Asar Tvachim. So, I think there's different machlokas in the Rishonim, machlokas in the Gersos, Machlokas, and the two Lashonos of Rashi. There's really two different sides to this, and you see it again and again. And of course, this is more than just a technical question of whether we're getting it from the word bor, whether we're getting it from Kedei Lahamis. There will be important conceptual nafkaminas and some practical ones too, don't worry, as to what the makor is and how we understand the din. Just one more point. Tosfos also note this Yerushalmi, source 13 here, that the Yerushalmi has, Tosfos quote half of it. Really, there's two Fs of Yerushalmi. We'll look at both, and they may be in different directions. Ksiv, ki yiftach ish bor, v'chi yichra ish bor. So why do we need bor twice? Echad bor l'nezikin, v'echad bor l'misa. And Tosfos said, it sounds from this like there's two different boros. There's some fundamental distinction between bor, one for nezikin, one for misa. Bor tes, bor yud, are fundamentally different from one another. You might even say that Yerushalmi is basically the equivalent of our Bavli saying that there's an Av for Tes and there's an Av for Yud, if you assume that Av and having the same Makar are to be equated, as certainly Rashi seems to do, others seem to do in our Sukkah. That's the first Lashon in the Yerushalmi. There's two different Lashonos of Bor in the Pasuk, one for Bor Nezikin only, and one for a Bor Misa, which of course you're also fine for Nezikin. Amar of Yitzchak, Echad Bor Shel Misa, the Echad Bor L'Nezikin. No, there's only one Bor for both of those, for both Misa and Nezikin. There's one Gzeres HaKasav, there's one Av of Bor, if you wanted to connect that to the other reading in our Gemara. So why do you need the second Bor? So, Ashneim Yimikra Echad Nisrabu. So why do you need the second Lashon Bor? Kshehu Ba, the Bor Shel Misa, Atmar Pater Ala Kalim. Kshehu Ba, the Bor Shel Nezikin, Atmar Chayev Ala Kalim. So the reason why we say Bor twice is to teach us that even though, in general, by a bor yud, by a big bor, you're pater by kalim, for a bor tes, you're chayav for kalim. So we're going to get into how to understand that drasha in a bit, but at least in terms of legabe behema, and behema shemesa, bebor, it sounds like the Yerushalmi, there's two different lishonos. Do we learn it out from the fact that it says bor twice? There's two separate gzeres hakasuv, two different categories of bor, or there's really one category of bor with some difference in dinim, but that's not a new shame bor, as it were. It's just a practical difference. So once again, there are these two different approaches. Is there a fundamental difference between bor tes and bor yud, or is really there's one pasuk, there's one av, there's only one, bor can be big, can be small, but there's a difference in din. These are two different approaches that we find consistently. Now, moving from the questions of how many avos there are, what the makor is, how many types of bor there are, fundamentally, we need to get to understand the reason for this din. Why is it that a behema shemesa bevor tes, the baal bor is pater? What's the svara for that? How do we understand that? So we're going to see this will relate to the questions we had until this point. And so let's go back to Rashi. And the second lashon in Rashi, as we saw, says in both Rashi says Amar Abana before Tisha Pater the lo machmas habor meis the ein bo kedei lahamis avaluz akai the bor Tisha bar nezikinu. Right, for Rashi, this seems very, very pashut. It's just a fact of nature. If you read it this way, a very straightforward reading of Rashi would yield this: that we're learning laws of physics and biology. That a boar tests, it's physically impossible for a boar test to kill a shore. So if the shore dies, it must not have been because of the boar test. But it can get injured, so you're chayav for nezikin. And so that's at least reading Rashi in a very straightforward way. This would be the shita. It's not telling you a din. There's no lima. It's just telling you facts of physics and biology. And of course, you're not going to be chayav for nezik your boar didn't do. Right? That follows very logically. Just one example of someone who gives this pshat in he doesn't explicitly say in Rashi, but it works for Rashi. The Maharam, source number 14. So he says this in Tosfos. I think that shita in Tosfos can fit with the shita in Rashi. Certainly, this pshat works for Rashi. About four lines down, halfway. Imkein chazinan delav zeres hakasuvu. There's no zeres hakasuv to teach us this. Ela Torah azla basar asvara. It's very straightforward logic. The biyesh bo kidei lahamis the bala bor garam hamisa vehezek bala bala shor mi bala habor. Az huchayev. If the bor caused an ezek, right? Something that's physically possible and presumably happened, then you're chayev. Ein bo kidei lahamis. If the boar is not strong enough, not deep enough to kill the animal, ein asvar no zenis sheyechay balabor deha hulo asa meisa sheyabokadei lahamis. The boar didn't kill him; it's physically impossible. That's a straightforward way of reading Rashi. There are a couple of problems with this Rashi, this way of understanding Rashi, I would say, which is number one: why do you need a drasha in the Gemara in the Mishnah and Daf Nun? Why do we need a limud? Right? This should be obvious, right? We don't say in general that if something happens that, if there's nezek that didn't happen, that you're putter, right? That should be obvious, that you don't need a halacha for that, right? Uh-huh. Okay, so...
He was pusher, was a little bit more, however he was, and then he would die before he was going
to open. And why would it be pshia to open a boar? You're saying because there could be other injuries that could happen. And that would be the hamir. Okay, and then what's the gzeres hakasuv? And then what's the gzeres hakasuv that your putter...
Despite the fact that it's...
Uh-huh. So the bonus is if the board caused the misi, neither was in the board and caused the misi.
We're not talking onus here. This is a different thing.
Right, we'll get to onus in a minute.
Different, clear is something different than onus, right?
Yeah. It's almost like a direction.
Right. Right. So that's the second question on this shot, which is, are we assuming that there was like some sort of miracle or extremely unlikely circumstance? The boar is walking along, it trips, it falls into a 2-foot deep pit. It dies immediately, and then we say, tough luck when it has a heart attack right when it's about to fall in, or the Malach HaMavis, got it right there, and no one noticed. So that doesn't seem to be the way the world works. So both because you think for Rashi that you'd want to have a drasha, you want to have the drasha teach you something, as opposed to just tell you that if you didn't do anything, you're putter, and that it just seems very unlikely that this would be the fact in Metzias. So that's why a lot of Akronim, I think it's maybe Pshat and Rashi, say that that's not really what the second Pshat and Rashi means. And they say that, there must be some, the drasha must be teaching us something. And there's a couple different variations on this. I'm going to spend less time on it because this ends up folding into a different Pshat. But they say it must be some sort of Gzeres HaKasev, that if the boar is, didn't cause the full Nezek, it only caused most of it, a boar test wouldn't kill a healthy shore. If your shore was already, sick or maybe had a minor heart attack simultaneous with falling in, somehow there must have been some contributory factor to the Misas HaShore. It wasn't fully you. And the Xeris Kazim is if it's not fully your boar's responsibility, your boar causing, if your boar caused 90% of the death, but not 100% of the death, you're putter. So that way you incorporate the drasha, that way you're your assumptions that you're making about physical reality are a little more limited. That's the way, you know, some Rav Nachum, others say Pshat and Rashi. But I guess the idea here is to try to keep some of Rashi's assumption about physical reality, about how he really didn't cause the Misa to some degree, but also incorporate the Gzeres HaKasev. The more you incorporate, the stronger you make the Gzeres HaKasev, that in this type of war you're never going to be chayev, I don't care what happened, then that's the more you move towards the side of there being a Gzeres HaKasev, of needing a certain type of boar, needing a shame boar, you know, a real boar, to be chayev. So, you know, the ways of solving Rashi in effect are basically moving the second Pshat in Rashi closer to the first Pshat in Rashi to one degree or another. So speaking of that Gzeres HaKasev Pshat in most people say it in the first Pshat in Rashi. It seems to fit a lot better, right? Rashi, there's a pasuk that says you're chayev, and that pasuk is talking about Misa, and it must be the pasuk is talking about Misa, and therefore Bor Yud. And it must be, if it's not a bor yud, you're putter. So that sounds like a gzeres hakasev that you're putter by a shore that's mason bor tes. Why? It's a gzeres hakasev. So you know, people say that in Rashi's first tzad, the Tosfos Talmid Rabbeinu Tam says it, I think, very clearly. We know the reason he died is because he fell into the bor. Gzeres hakasev he the putter. By definition, you only are chayev for a boar when it has kedei lahamis, which means yad tvachim, right? But we know he died because of the boar. So, you know, obviously, there's some logical. You'd have to solve the logical problem of saying the boar doesn't have kedei lahamis, but it was maimis. Presumably, that means kedei lahamis, usually, or something like that. We know the boar killed him in this case, so as long as it doesn't have kedei lahamis, which by definition is yad tvachim, you're pater migzeres akasev. Afemes yelo nami kasamich. Fine. You need both of them to explain why the boar, and not just boar, it's other things too. Fine. That part is fits in with the Gemara and Daf Nun. But the Iker point here is for him the drasha is a pure gzeres hakasev, and the briskers like to call this shame boar. The rav v'nei yesh lachor b'din shabor test chayv nizikin v'misa pater imamuvan hu shem nafal shor tok boar test umes armina shemisaso ba'a shelo machmas habor, as Rashi said, but that's second shot in Rashi. But I think, you know, he doesn't say it wasn't from the boar. He's saying we have to say it wasn't from the boar, right? It's almost like a legislative fact. You know, it's not physically he could have died from the boar, but like we treat it as if he didn't die from the boar. We somehow try to find a reality in which he didn't die from the boar. Odelma shemes machmas habor. He did die because of the boar, like Talmud Rabbeinu Tam said. V'cholzos baal bor pater al pi gzeres hakasev. I think this is a tribute to Reb Chaim also, but a fairly standard approach to reading the first round in Rashi. Mistaber shvikachalukos shelishonos b'Rashi. V'lishon achrina bortes b'metzius eino meimis, lo machos bormeis. V'lishon akama bortes achen heimis is ashor, v'achol pichen habal pater ekev gzeres hakasev. So, you know, you have to figure out in each case whether something qualifies as the shame bor to be mechayev or not, to be mechayev by case of Misa, but that's the understanding here. You know, this isn't a Gzeres HaKasev with no correlation to Metzias. There seems to be a reasonable correlation. That's why Kedei Lahamis, Yud Tvachim, you're Chayev. If not, not. But it's an absolute rule along those lines on that basis. So that's the second Mahalach. And the third Mahalach, people generally say, in the Sugya is Ones, which was invoked already.
That, what I said, fits with the Talmud Ben-Tah also. He said you're Pater even if you know the Pater.
Yes, but he also says Gzeres HaKasev the Pater Deino Chayv Abshish Shulki Lahamis. So he, you're saying that's Lafuke from Tzatzav Shia.
What I invoked those Gzeres HaKasev, what everyone said was that the shore died Shlom Atmos Bor, so it's not Sova Bahonis on the Bor. But if you know that it died because of the Bor, then it's Sova Bahonis on the Bor. So even though it wasn't Kedei Lahamis, it died because of the Bor.
Right, but he's saying you're Pater. Not because he's not denying that reality. He's saying, despite the reality, you're still putter because it's Gzeres HaKasev.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying. Gzeres HaKasev, it's lafuke.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's also lafuke, like, you know, if something damages something, it's chayev. That would be a more straightforward thing. It's lafuke. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But I was going to say, Moshe ad Moshe, the Rambam is the sheet that people usually invoke when they talk about Ones. Although there may have been a few Moshes in between. So the Rambam in Yud Beis Tesvav, and this is going to be complicated, but at least the way people say it generally, in this case will invoke onus. Asat hel gavo v'rishus harabim v'nischab tabo v'hema umesa. You have this little hill, you build a hill, and the rishus harabim. You thought that was going to end well, didn't. So the animal falls and dies. So im haya gavoa, sorry, very exciting to imagine this case. Im haya gavoa asar tvachim chayav l'shalim. If it's 10 tvachim tall, then you're chayav. Im haya pachos me'asar apater, right? Same as our din, except with a hill as opposed to a hole. Complicated. What about hevel? Fine. Not our issue right now. Patra amisa behema yavalim huzga bilvad chayav l'shalim nezek shalim. You're chayav for nezek. Bafilu betel gavoa kol shehu, any height of a mound, o b'chafira kol shehu, any height of a hole, the din's the same. She'an nezek b'kol shehu, davar matzui via dua, getting damaged with any height or depth of, irregularity, there's just a rabin, that happens, that's regular. Ve'en amisa b'kol shehu, but you don't die because of a less than 10 tvachim mountain or hole. Ve'arehu kamo ones, it's like an ones. So, people see the word ones, they pounce on it, right? And they say, the Rambam says it's mitir pater midin ones. And that's at least the way some people say the Rambam. There's obviously a problem with saying that's pater midin ones, which is, if it's really ones, so you don't need a pasuk to teach you that it's ones, right? A similar question before. Now you can invoke it's lafuke, because of Shiva Sofa ones. That's maybe what the pasuk tells you. But I think the bigger problem with this pshat, at least in the Rambam, is that the Rambam doesn't say ones. He says kamo ones. He also says a lot of other things. Which we're gonna look at. So, and primary among them in Halacha Yud, when he brings down the normal din, as opposed to this this exceptional case, the fundamental din, when he first brings it down, Echarach over Boro Shiach O Ma'aro O Charitz. So the din's the same. V'lama Nemar Bor Ad Shiach Bo Kidei Lahamis. You need to have Kidei Lahamis. That sounds like our Mishnah, and doesn't say anything about Ones. V'kama Kidei Lahamis Omek Asar Tvachim. Alay Pachos Me'asar V'nafal Sochor Shoror Shar Behema Chayv O Meis Pater. So, he doesn't say anything about ones here, and there's a temptation to say that it's gzeres hakasuv. He doesn't say anything else. It's gzeres hakasuv. You need kidei lahamis. But then why does he say kimobor? That seems to be very different than saying gzeres hakasuv. So how do you reconcile yud and tesvav? Let's put that on hold. The question of how to reconcile yud and tesvav, but at least. People say onus in the Rambam. There are some major problems with saying onus in the Rambam, but definitely the Rashba and Daf Nun Aleph in the Havamina has a concept of onus, and we know this because he asks that in a certain scenario. We'll get into this in more detail later, but assuming that it's possible to die in a bor that's less than 10 tefachim, if the height of the total distance of head to fall is 10 tefachim, right, it's a bor vav, the shore is 4 tefachim high, falls in, the chavata is 10 tefachim distance. So if you be chayiv in that case, and then in a scenario where, let's say, the animal rolls in and doesn't have that 10 tefachim distance, maybe you should be chayiv anyways because it's chasub shiva sofa ba'ones. So the Rashba invokes that. By invoking that, it would seem to be that he holds that there's a p'tur ones by the case of nezek vav. He himself backs off of that understanding, but at least in the Havamina, he took that tzad. So that's the third tzad, ones, and these I think are generally the three shitos that people say. A very interesting ha'ara of Rav Aryeh Leib Malin. Did I put it on the sheet in the end? Doesn't look like I did. But he wants to read this into the Gemara, to the different stages of the Gemara. That we, when we said, we originally wanted to say that Yud and Tess. That's an Av and Tolda, and then the Gemara says Lo Yud Ksivi V'Lo Tes Ksivi. So the way he reads that shift is originally wanted to say Yud's an Av and Tes is a Tolda, because it's really the same. It's really the same Mechayev overall, and there'd be a Ptur Anus or something by when you go from 10 to 9. So it would be Anus. You're not really responsible for such a small bore for an animal dying. But then we say no Lo Yud Ksivi V'Lo Tes Ksivi. You can't say that. Must be there's, and then we say, there is a drasha season. There must be two separate dinim. It must be a shame bor, shame yud, and shame bor tes, and that's the next stage in the Gemara there. And then you have to figure out, is that two avos? Is that how do you define it? But the point is, that's the shift in the Gemara there. So it's interesting. He wants to read into the Gemara a havamina being ones, a maskana of it being shame bor. Also what the Rashba himself does, which is interesting, similar progression in a different context. In any event, these are the three main studim. Just to prove that these are the, you know, the classic three studim here, source number 20, the Minchas Asher, summarizing. Right, you just didn't dive in that account. Debor test lo avdi misa. That's the first tzad. Achvadivrei Rambam uvor the pater mishum dehavi ones. Kamechain bor test mamus v'derek klal. It's unusual, so it's ones. Ve'en avaylam mitzuvim lachsho shevor yigrom lemisa shelvider ha'olam. That's the second shot. Ones v'derek shlishis yeshuv zevadivrei Rashi b'sugim v'lishna kamba. The mashmi dvarav digzeres akasu hu liftor bor test mimisa. Digzeres akasu the pater yuvol pina mikra the rak b'misa the misa patarto Torah. So this is your classic three shittos. We'll just bring in a couple of nafkaminas before trying to offer an alternate approach. So a couple of important nafkaminas here. What happens in a scenario of a boar test that an animal falls in a mace? So we say you're putter, right? That's the Mishnah. But are you putter from everything, or are you only putter from the misa aspect of the nezek, but you're still chayev in the you know the nezek, the pure nezek shebo minus the death? How exactly you calculate that is separate question, but let's say at least in theory, if you could somehow separate the damage based on death from the damage based on just falling in, the injury itself, would you be chayev on the nezek shebo, right? You're chayev in Ezekiel by Bortes, so why, you know, so maybe you should be chayev in this case too. So that's a machlokas rishonim. Rabbeinu Yohonasan in the Shita, it's in the bottom of page 3, source 21. Ben Yehonasan says, Al-Kasav is Al-Shonah, Hayu Pchusim Yassar Tvachim, in Meis Bo, Pater, Kolon Shinishpa Ragwa, Meis Mi Menu, Pater Mi L'Shalim Is Kulo. Pater means you're not fully Chayav. Avo Meshalim Lo Kedei Hezeko, Shehuzak Bo, Shinishpa Raglo, Im Lo Haya Meis. Right? If he breaks his leg, it dies. So you're Pater from the Misa damages, but you have to pay him for a broken leg. Delegami Lo Matzim Lemifterei, Shrein Chavar Bo, Kedei lahazik hanofel, right? He dug enough to damage this animal. The animal falls in, was damaged. It also died, but it should be lo gara from being injured. So you're still chayav al dmei kulolo, but you're putter from the whole body. Shrei lo hayabo hevel lemisa, right? It wasn't enough to kill. There's no hevel. It's a bortes. Umazelo gara, it died. This is another alternative explanation as to why the animal died. It's mazel, right? Somehow it was its time, and that's why it died. Vimhuzak bo chayav. But the nezek, you're responsible for the nezek because your boar had the capacity to do that damage. So that's Metashita, and very very clearly says you're chayiv on these things. The Meiri raises this issue as well. This is towards the end of the piece. We call makom yeshman kidei lahazik v'hilkaf nafal bo shor o chamor o kol ba chayim umeis pater umhuzek bo chayiv. And that's the general din. V'yesh misha omer, she'im meis mishalim. There's some that say that if the animal dies, mishalim miha, b'chdei dmei hezek hamashur v'bezdin. You still need to estimate, however you would do this, the damage, shebo, you know, separate from the death, and you'd have to pay that. V'lo yarali kein, I don't like that pshat, but some people hold that way. So you see both shitos here between Rabbeinu Yohonasan and the Meiri. Apparently, Reb Chaim was mistopic in this as well. Presumably didn't have these Rishonim, so he was stopping on this issue as well. And so what's the logic here between the Shitos? It seems to be, if you, you know, at least in a straightforward way, you'd have a reasonable Chakira, right, of how the Patur test works. Is a Patur test just because you're honest or the damage couldn't have been from you, in which case, you know, that's to the extent that you're honest or the damage couldn't have been from you. But if the Patur is based on those things, if the damage came about for something that you are responsible for, right? You should have been more careful, and it could have been from, right? You can break a leg in a boar test, so then you should be chayav. Whereas if you say it's the shame boar, then at least possibly, this is maybe where Chaim had the suffix, possibly you would say it's the shame boar. So the shame boar, this is mufka, you know, this the boar test doesn't have the shame boar, it's therefore mufka from paying damages in a case of misa, period, right? It's a categorical exclusion. The reason where Chaim had the suffix, presumably, is whether you can separate. If you really could separate the nezek from the misa and say it's like almost two different scenarios, or you know, you say, well, you know, the misa shebo you're pater from, but something else you can somehow separate, that may be why you had a suffix. But I think the more pashut way of understanding it is if you say there's a hafka of, you know, a mace bibor test pater, because of Xeris Akasiv, because it's not a shame bor, so maybe that would work across the board. So that presumably was Rukhaim's suffix. That's one Nachmanides, yeah.
If you take an extreme Metzias approach, that's impossible that a shore could have died from this bor, you could argue that I'm not even damaging it. If you have a carcass that's already worthless and you take a slash out of it, then whatever I did contribute to this Nezik is not actually being Mazik at all. So it died because of a heart attack, and I didn't do any damage to it. So you can take the extreme opposite approach of bor test, just EF sure that it actually killed it, therefore it's no longer any contribution to the hazard.
Right, although even in that, even if you said that, you'd have to do a little figuring out of like the timetable, right? So it broke his leg, and it died. Did it die right at the same time, or before it broke his leg? If it broke the leg first, you should presume it would be chayav. The Chazon Ish actually tries to figure out, within Rabbeinu Yohanan, like how much can we separate conceptually the injury of the leg from the body? Does it matter like how long it takes before breaking the leg for the animal to die? Does it matter if the animal dies in the bore or out of the bore? It doesn't like that. But you can, I put it in the sheet. Yeah, you can look at that for more details. But that's just trying to flesh out, pun not intended, some of the details of how exactly the Nezek happened and, you know, whether you can separate between the two. But yeah, definitely, if you can make the argument that, that the Misa, which must be from Mazel or something else, overshadows broken leg, you'd also need to make other assumptions too. Yeah. The more pushed approach is what you're, as Rabbeinu Yohanan says, what you're responsible for, the broken leg, you should pay. So that's one nafkamina. The other nafkamina will return now to the Yerushalmi, which we had, what number was that? Earlier, source number 13. The second tzad in the Yerushalmi. Just to refresh everyone's memory, it has bor twice. We don't have two separate psukim. It's one big bor, including both misa and nezikin. Shnei mikra echad nisrabo. Right? We learn out the standard case of bor for one pasuk. So why do we say it twice? Kshuba lebor shel misa atamar pater al kelim. Kshuba lebor shel nezikin atamar chayv al kelim. The difference is that a bor, we don't pass it this way, but a bor yud, you have pater on kelim. Shorvel adam kamor al kelim. But that doesn't apply to a bor test. A bor tes, you'll be chayev on kalim, different than usual. So just focusing on that din itself, I think I saw in Rav David, he says, well, how does this make any sense, right? Think about it. A cleave falls into a bor yud. So in that case, you're pater, right? But why should a bor yud, it should be like b'chlal masai mana, right? B'chlal yud tes, higher mathematics, right? So it should be, if you're responsible for cleave breaking in a bor test, you should definitely be responsible for breaking in a bor yud. It should be no worse, certainly. So that doesn't make any sense, unless you say that it's a different shame bor. Right? This is a shame bor. Bor test is not a shame bor, it's something else. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's an inferior bor or a non-bor. Bor yud is a shame bor, so that the dim are just totally different. They have nothing to do with one another. It's not true that bechlal yud test. Well, maybe bechlal yud test, not bechlal. Bechlal bor yud is not bor test. It's two different shame of bor. It's not... you can't say that svara at all. The problem with that, lumdus, which obviously wouldn't apply for the other sheet, though. The problem with it is that we just finished saying that there's only one shem bor in terms of yud and tes for misas bor for sure. So what is it? Is that one shem bor in terms of behema shemes? Is it two shemos bor in terms of kalim? Why would we have that distinction? Now, of course, you can always say, well, you know, just each one's his own xeris akasiv, teaching his own thing, but it seems to be a little not so strong that you would reject the idea. You would think these two shitas would go together, right? There's two machlokas. Does the same bor twice teach you that your putter, the p'tur of mace before tes is a real, like two different shemos of bor? That's one shita. The other shita says, no, it's one shame of bor for that, but legabe kalim, it's two shemos of bor. It seems to really be pulling in two opposite directions. So what's pshat with that Yerushalmi? That sheet in the Yerushalmi, it doesn't seem to really fit with any of the tzadim. Fine. So now, we heard the three classic mahalchim in the p'tur misa shor b'bor tes, which are that physically impossible, that it's ones, or that it's a different shame bor, xeris akasiv. So if you think about it, these are svaras based either on metzias. Right, it's physically impossible on the gavra of the shomer that it's ones, or on the cheftza of the mazik. So if we wanted to fill out our list of classic brisker terms, what's missing? The maisa. What about the maisa? So I think this is not how I arrived at this, but would be interesting if it were, though. But, right, I think there's a if we look more closely at Rashi, we will find that, you know, lurking somewhere within this boar is the conception of the Maisa as being important for understanding the distinction between boar yud and boar tes. We all saw the long Rashi with two Lashonos, but the immediately previous Rashi is equally, if not even more, relevant. Rashi writes, Avasara, boar amok yud tfachim, hainu av, tibikach darko lohamis. Now this was in the Havamin of the Gemara there, that yud would be av and tes would be a tolda. But Rashi says, why is yud an av? Hainu av, tibikach darko lohamis. Right, he doesn't say kidei lohamis, he says darko lohamis. Now this word darko is a very important word, I think, throughout this, the first Mishnah and the Sugya attached to it, because, darko or urche is the type of thing that we often connect to defining the avos, right? There's something darko, lelech lahazik or not, and we try to understand our people. Is it, are people naturally mazikim? Are animals naturally mazikim? Tam, muad, sleeping people. It comes up again and again, a correlation between something being one of the avos of the zikin and whether urche is to do this or to do, to do X, to do Y. So with that in mind, assuming, and we'll flesh this out a bit more, say that again, that the connection between darko and the maisa, but definitely Rashi here is focusing on darko lahamis. And that immediately leads into the two lashonos, however you take it. But it seems like the starting point of Rashi is to define something as an av. It needs to be darko. In order to successfully be an av, you need to say darko lahamis to be chayev on misa, and then you take that a step further. The Shach of Attire, the Gemara goes on and then concludes that zebor lamisa v'zebor lin nezikin, or zeav lamisa v'zeav lin nezikin. And I think you can incorporate this idea of Orche into the two tzadim in different ways, the two Lashonos in Rashi in two different ways. The first pshat in Rashi, it largely ends up not being so relevant, but you can say that the first Lashon in Rashi, which is a pasuk, the pasuk teaches you bor yud, and then you somehow figure out there's another av for bor tes from the lack of a pasuk, however that works. You can make the argument that the question is, do we see the two boros? And right, the second pshat in Rashi has two avos, right? So the question is, do we view a bor tes and a bor yud as really the same av or not? Right? We saw that in the Rav, we saw that in others, and at least the Jachron says this is interesting reading. Rav Nachum suggested that really the machlokas is whether we view an av that is darko lahazik and a bor that's darko lahazik and a bor that's darko lahamis as one big darko or not, right? Is that really more or less the same thing, the same derech of bor or not? The first lashon says, no, there's really two different, one's darko lahamis, one's not. There's two different shemos of bor. This ends up just really reducing to shem bor, the way Rav Nachum says it in the first lashon. Whereas in the second lashon, he wants to say that, well, you know, it's still close enough. It's one shem bor, and he said, therefore, and then he just says, then Rashi reverts to saying this idea about it's impossible to happen. It's impossible to happen for you to die. But I think the way I want to do something slightly different, which is that, I think in the second lashon of Rashi, the fundamental svara is not that it's physically impossible and not a variation on it, as we saw. When Rashi says, Amar Banim before Tisha Pater, the lo machmas habor mace, the aimbo kidei lahamis, aval hezek chayev, the bor tisha bar nezikin, who, what he's really saying, he's reformulating the idea of urche. When he says aimbo kidei lahamis, from the Mishnah Daf Nun, he's saying emok tilahamis means urche. That's essentially what that means, and that's the main distinguishing factor between a bor yud and a bor tes. A bor yud is darko lahamis. It's urche for someone or an animal to die in a bor yud. It's not urche for an animal to die in a bor tes. Is it possible? Sure, it's possible. Weird things happen all the time, but it's not urche. And you're putter for the same reason that you're always putter for things that are not urche. We call it mishune. And then your putter, maybe you get some a residual partial fee. But generally, if something's not urche, if something's mishune, you're putter. And that's what Rashi is suggesting here. He's not saying it's physically impossible. He's saying it's physically uncommon. It's and therefore we call that emo kedei lahamis. But it's not about the shame bor per se. It's about the maisa of bor. It's about the darko, the process of falling into a bor. Is this something that's common that we'd be mechayev you, or is it not? And as it turns out, there's two different tracks, as the pasuk clarifies. Where we draw the line in determining something's darko versus not darko, whether it's whether it's kedei lahamis or not, is yud, is kedei lahamis, is darko your chayev for misa, and tes, not darko, not kedei lahamis, and your putter. So I think this is how to read Rashi's second sad, and that would explain the difference between yud and tes, and may also explain some other things. Yes.
The point of the dark is the just in terms of the touch in the second day, so actually could have done without the words Dolo Machmas Abor Mace. You would have said Amar Ban Bar the Bor Tisha Patar, the Inbo Kade Lamis, which in your career is that's connected to Inbo Dark Lamis, Avaluzakai Bahul. To make a positive statement, Dolo Machmas Abor Mace, it's a little.
But he explains why. He doesn't just say Dolo Machmas Abor Mace. The Embo Kedei Lahamis. Meaning because Embo Kedei Lahamis, that's why. That's the Xeris HaKasuv. Embo Kedei Lahamis, we therefore say, we apply it, that Lo Machmas Bor Meis. We look at the situation, as you know, we say it's not Orchei, it's Meshoneh, and we ignore the aspect of the Bor.
But in a typical case of Bad Orchei, that's not the claim we make. Bad Orchei, we say, indeed, X result, you know, is caused by this. We don't deny the causal relationship, we just... It doesn't matter because Lav Orche, and that's not that the Zikaron paid for Orche, which is your point that generally is true. I'm saying it does seem to what led other people not to say like you,
of course,
is because he does seem to make a factual claim.
Right. I mean, this is the challenge of this Rashi, right? And so, right, there are different ways of trying to explain to get
what
at
you're
it.
Is that yeah. Because the boy is so amorphous, like, when the shore does something, each does something, so you can't deny the causal relationship. Here, there's like because it's.
Rashi himself explains the words, right? Lo machmas bor meis.
But he doesn't have to say them.
Definitely, I agree. I agree, and I think that's why there are other pshatim in Rashi which have their own. Which have their own challenges,
right, that's
but you know, I think given what the previous Rashi said, reading this in light of that, and obviously you can't emphasize these words compared to the rest of Rashi, otherwise it has the other pshat. I think Rashi explains lo machmas bor meis means that we can ignore the factor of bor in this case because it's embo kedei lahamis. It's not the normal scenario. It's not urche, and that's what allows us to to assert that lo machmas bor meis. So that's the suggestion. In reading Rashi, and of course that would explain the Mishnah too. And this is, again based on the idea of Lav Urchei Mishunah and that Ptur more generally. I guess one reason I think why people might be reluctant to say the Svara in a general sense is that usually we think about Maisa for things that move, right? Like things that are dark or Leilich Lahazik, like Eish or Shor or even Adam. But Bor is less obvious. It's less obvious that we would look at the circumstances leading up to the damage as a maisa, such that it would have to be orchei. I think that may be Rashi's chiddush. Rashi certainly did not have to invoke darko lahamis in the previous Rashi. Right? He seems to go out of his way to do that. It's consistent with the fact that it's correlated to avos and the definition of avos in a general sense, but it's a bit of a chiddush. So I think that's that may explain why people were reluctant to say it, but I think it works very well both for Rashi himself. We'll see other shitos, and I think it also helps solve some problems among some of the nafkaminas, as we'll see. Yeah.
I just understood. I didn't hear the whole point. Or can we assume it's connected to Maisa? Is that what you're saying?
That's the assumption. I'm about to argue in that direction within Rashi in a minute. But yeah, that's the assumption.
Just the way that the Bible would link that there are items as hazardous or not hazardous. It's a question of movement.
Well, Rashi, the way Rashi applies it here, he says... Bor amok yud tfachim, hainu av, tibikach darko lahamis. So he says a bor yud is darko lahamis, a bor test presumably is not. Right? So the only darko you could see there is, a scenario where an animal falls in, is it reasonable, is it likely to expect the animal will die or not? And that's the distinction between test and yud. So it sounds like it's about the mice, just given where Rashi's applying it here, right? The other way of saying it, of course, is that, yeah. Well, he says the bekach darko lahamis. He's thinking of a scenario of an animal walking in. In that scenario, is it common or not? The other way. But when he says bekach darko lahamis, what is bekach talking about? Now, I think you could be dovek and say it's talking about the shame boar. You say everything's about the shame boar, but it sounds more likely bekach darko lahamis in this sort of scenario. In a scenario, an animal going into a bor yud versus a bor tes, it's darko lahamis or not darko lahamis. And I think we, based on Rashi and Daf Hey, we'll see Rashi has a view of Orche in a similar vein. This is the again Daf Hey Kulu Kishadis Bor Benayu Asya, right? You bor plus anything gives you everything. So on that line, number are we up to? Yeah, number 24. Rashi says, "Kulik shadus bor benayu asya iksiv bor v'chad mehanach asikul mehahu meidach b'tzara shaveh." And then I skipped this very long Rashi. We skip to the relevant part. Eish tochiach mala eish akein hu edes lecho bein sheroy la bein she'ein roy la. Right, eish burns things whether they're ra'u or not, ra'u for it or not. Kigon eitzim kein lavanim tomer v'shein she'einim edes el davar haroy la. Whereas shein is different; it's only things that are roy. Bor yochiach. She'eno muad ela ladavar haro'ila. Davar she'eno ro'ila, so fine, right? Bor is only right for something that, bar is only muad for things that are ro'ila. Davar she'eno ro'ila, my nihu. Adam, v'ksiv na hoshama shor o chamor. Shor v'ladam chamor v'lo kelim. So Adam is not ro'i for bor, and that's why your putter, that's why necessarily, but it seems to me that's why your putter by bor. Now what's interesting is you see Tosvos, and two versions of Tosvos will argue with Rashi, but I think it's Medir from what they're arguing with Rashi that Rashi understands this idea of Ra'ui here, which I think may end up similar to Darko, in a way based on the Maisa. So Tosfos, they write, Achma Shapirish, Bor Yochiach, Ein Muad, Lezdavar, Shein Roy, Lo, Tzgon Adam, Kashe, Chad Lo Patar Adam, El Mi Misa, Lo Mi Nezikin. First of all, Yochai Nezikin is not really excluded, but Od, Atu Mishim, the Patar Adam, Chashuv ein ra'ui, v'alo be'esh nami patur tamu. Right, just because you're patur doesn't mean you're not ra'ui. V'alo d'lakame gabi chamor, chomer b'shor mi v'vor, ein motze Rabbi Huda d'mechayv, on this case, kelem v'vor, ein roi v'vor. V'hamishkachas le'adam, fine, he has another question we can see you later. Elanira, d'adam nami chashuv ra'ui l'vor, d'ra'ui lamus b'havla. A person can die through the hevel d'vor, therefore adam is also ra'ui for vor. So how would Rashi respond to that? Presumably, he could say even though of course it's possible for Adam to die in Bor, but it would presumably not be Urche. He could make a similar argument that Ra'ui here is working along those same lines of this idea of Urche by Bor, that also explains the Ptur Adam. Right? It's not normal for a person to walk into a Bor. Of course, if a person isn't a Bor, does fall into a Bor, they can die, but it's not Urche, and therefore that's a lashon of Ra'ui here. Tosfos does not accept that Ra'ui means that. He thinks Ra'ui means like it's physically possible to die. But for Rashi, arguably, that's what Ra'ui means. It's building on this idea of Urche. And
he's arguing with you. He's raising the question not so much about Urche, but about whether Urche necessarily means that there's some sort of Maisa Hezek. Right?
Maisa Hezek in what
sense? You're trying to establish is that Ra'ui and Urche are interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
Objecting to is that doesn't prove that they relate to the Maisa Hezek, right? They could still relate to whatever else the Mechayim is for,
mm-hmm.
but it's not simply not Keorchei.
Right.
Either in the sense of being Anus or some other factor that in Bor, maybe it's not considered a Mazik Legabeze, so you'd see Rasa Mazik, but it's not a Mazik Legabeze because it's not Keorchei.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily prove that. That's what
right. Right.
Either way, Ra'ui and Urche are different than Embo Kedei Lahamis, and they're different than Shein Bor.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a function of their being, that the focus is on the Maisa Hezek.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think that generally, when we talk about Urche, it's a function of the Maisa. Right.
That's because normally in the other Avos HaZikin, the focus is on Maisa Hezek, to be begin with. Mm-hmm. But if it bore, the part of Kiddush is that it's not.
But it wouldn't be unusual to assume that if you're trying to pull bore in that direction, and someone uses a term that consistently works in similar ways.
Right, I'm just saying, it could just be whatever the Mechayev is. It's not working. That's so different than saying that they're contributing other factors, such as Kedei L'Hamis, or that doesn't have a shape bore.
Mm-hmm.
The word urche or roi per se doesn't have to refer to the bore. In other words, you're saying, in addition to that, the assumption is that that whatever you would have said about limudim, you know, that made bore unusual and you couldn't learn that from others, you know, we're kind of throwing that out in the maskana, because even though it's passive, it's still considered to be doing the hazak. And then the question is it doing it b'urche, or is it ain't urche? So you know, there's nothing about the word urche or roi that really, you know, it doesn't mean that it can't be that, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, motivate you to come to that conclusion. You could say, no, bor still doesn't, ain't dark oleil kol hazak, and therefore we never think of bor as a maisa hazak, right? But whatever the mechayev of bor is, right, there's still an urche and a lav urche,
mm-hmm.
you know, which either relates to the possibility of forestalling it through Shmira, or and again, it could be, I think, various different ways to explain it. Or just maybe even Yetzirah Samazik, but Yetzirah Samazik is not connected to this outcome, even if it isn't Baisa Hezek, because it's still Lav Orche. So, I think it's fair, that's a fair point, but there are two different issues.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't negate what you're saying, which is that that's different than, I mean, your bigger point is that this is another, in addition to saying that the board didn't do it, or the board didn't do it alone, or the board did it and did it alone, but it's not, it doesn't have a shame bore, the Gabi Misa. You're saying something, a third thing now, and that is that it is a bore, it did it, but it didn't shalom kor.
Mm-hmm.
That's still true.
Regardless of whether did it means a Misa or not.
Right.
Right. I guess the...
Unless you benefit from it, I think a certain shonis may show that, and I think certain shonis do hold that. That once you end up with all the avos hazikin, that we, you know, kind of genericize them, and therefore there is a kind of a passive, you know, act of hezek by the bor or by the balavor, you know, which began when he built it or whatever. However you want to say it, but I'd say why? I think there are shonis like that, but why commit yourself to that just
mm-hmm.
this issue? So far, about a different kind of question.
Right. I guess the thought was, what would urche mean if it's not about the shame bore per se, right? Because it's not. We'll see. There are nothing. It doesn't necessarily correlate to the shame bore. It'll be about situations. So it's a situational, you know, saying situationally something's lav urche. Doesn't that almost lead to the maisa? Isn't it more likely to tie into the maisa than anything else?
Again, you have to analyze what the other alternatives of the Mechayev of Bor are. But you could say, let's say, for example, the Yitziras HaBor, Yitziras HaMazik is the Mechayev of Bor.
Right.
But it's only a Mechayev for things where we relate to it as a Mazik, and things that are not Urche, Mekach, we don't really look at it as a Mazik.
That's essentially the Shem Bor.
No, but that's not the same as saying that the reason that you're not kai for Misa in a bor pachas miyud is because that yud, like let's say we take a different tack, and that is that you need a yud for a certain chalos shape bor. It's like a rishus thing. You know, it's related to other things where yud tzvachet. You know, it's just, you don't have to say that either, but I think let's say you did. That's different than the question of, it's not a mazik legabe davar zeh. You're kai for creating a mazik. Right, if no mazik happens, we're not mechayev you. Right, we're mechayev you for creating a mazik when a nezek occurs. But only when a nezek occurs, that's mitzuraf to this shame mazik. And that the shame mazik is defined in this case by dvarim like in advance that you would connect as being ruyin or orche mekach to happen. You know, that's still separate from saying, know, that the size per se is a didn't shape bore. Mm-hmm. It's a different, that right. The shape bore, maybe it's the shape, that the relation, the shape mazik that can be mechayiv you for this nezik.
Right.
But once you say that, like tchilas asiyaso, you know, lenezek, or creating a mazik is a mechayiv, you're anyways on very shaky, not shaky, you're on trickier ground. Because you always have to, you also have to contend with the fact that, you know, that, so, mimanoshach, either, you know, it's like a lasasin dabin b'meisacha thing, and I created it, so I should pay for it. You know, what does that have to do with the guy happening to, you know, fall into it? Okay, but I think there's a good answer for that. Once there's a good answer for that, then the limitations of it could still be characterized as orphan. Mm-hmm. And probably they have to do with, you know, the things that you would anticipate or wouldn't, you know, or there's a more natural correlation to it happening and so on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess we'll keep an open mind as to what the connecting factor to Urche is. Just one more substantiation of, I think, Urche within Rashi is in that same sugya, the Rav Yisrael builds on Tosa's question, and at the end of the piece he writes, the Ishlomar, Tehada Eno Chayav al Misas Shor, Bebor Tisha, La Mishum Dechashiv Misas Hashor, Eno Roy Bebor Tisha, El Mishum She'en Bo Kedei Lahamis. He wants to be Mechalik, and say, don't say that the Ptur is because Eno Ra'oi Bebor Tisha, rather, say it's because Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis, which I think is interesting in that it's Mechalik between Rashi's second side, the way people usually say it, and I think the way we're suggesting to say it in the opposite direction. I mean, he prefers to say Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis Mamish, as opposed to Eino Ra'ui, which I think reasonably can be understood as a Lav Urche. And what I'm suggesting is maybe what Rashi's saying is Dafka, you know, what Yisrael is rejecting here, is that Rashi Dafka holds that it is about Urche rather than about you know, Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis, that it's physically impossible. So I think it's interesting that those two are juxtaposed here and distinguished from one another. I think it, you know, helps sharpen the what exactly we're saying in Rashi. And just one more formulation that at least arguably agrees with Rashi is the Tosfos on Daf Yud. The Tosfos on Daf Yud, source number 27 here, towards the end of the Tosfos, Yesh Lomar Lichka Niro Dechayev Avi She'en Regilus Shetazik. Eish near Vavanim Klal. That's right. That's the reason for the Ptur. It's Ein Regilus. It's uncommon. Maje Ein Kein Bebor. The Pachos Miyud Pater Mimisa Came in the Ein Regilus Lahamis BePachos Miyud. Right. He says the reason for the Ptur Shor Mace Bebor Tes is Ein Regilus Lahamis BePachos Miyud. Right. So it really sounds again like this idea of Urche. It's unusual. Okay. So it's unusual. Who cares? But if you say that there's a Ptur of Urche, that would work well here. So I think we've between Rashi and this Tosfos, and maybe we'll see other Shitos, we've presented this this Tzad of Urche, and we'll return to the Nachmanis we saw before and see how it plays out. Yeah.
Are you learning that Tosfos as being Mefarish Devei Rashi, or are you Rashi?
You're saying that Tosfos on Gimel?
No, on Yud.
On Yud.
I learned the Ishlomar as being Kolei by Rashi.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that she was saying that it's impossible for. I was being like, when she's saying, like, it sounds like it's impossible for a poor Yud, sorry, for a Pachal Yud to kill. And Tosfos was not arguing, saying, no, it's not Chant. It means that it's not Regulus to kill.
Right, so I think.
You were learning as a Perush?
I'm.
Or did I misunderstand what you were saying?
No, I knew I was going to run into this trouble with this Tosfos and getting Tosfos to agree with each other and Rashi to, you know, Tosfos is parish of Rashi with Rashi. All I was saying was that I think Tosfos' conclusion here, regardless of how they learned Rashi, their conclusion here fits with the way I'm suggesting we can read Rashi. Yeah. That's all I was saying. I guess we could look into, try to figure out, you know, how Tosfos is reading Rashi here, how it correlates to there, how Tosfos and Arsugya, to the extent they disagree with Rashi, or the two tzadim, how they would tie in. I guess that we could do that, but okay, so going back to some of the nafkamin as we saw before, where we have the case of an animal that falls into a boar test and dies. Are you chayiv on the nezek shebo, right? The broken leg, as it were. So just to recall, we said before that if you hold the shame boar, arguably you'd be putter because it's a different thing. The boar test has nothing to do with the boar yud. The fact that it was mace, that whole scenario is there's a hafka and you're putter. Whereas if you say it's ones or physically impossible for an animal to die in a boar test, if it somehow happens, you at least should be chayav for what you're responsible for. If we think about it in terms of urchei, it would come out that presumably you should also be putter, right? Because the situation itself is urchei. It doesn't matter that you also got an injury, but the whole scenario overall of an animal dying in a boar. Boar test is lav urchei, and that would be mishuna. That would be mufka from the chiyuv based on the limud and the lav urchei. So I think that in this case it comes out like the shame boar tzad, it would seem. But in the other case that we thought about before, the second tzad in Yerushalmi, where you have one drasha to teach you both boar test and boar yud legabe behema, but you need a second boar to teach you that there's a chiyuv for nezek of kalim in a boar test. So we had a problem there, if you recall, because on the one hand, saying it's one din sounds like it's not like two different shemos of boar. On the other hand, at the end of the day, there's this, you should say b'chal masayim mana, and you're chayev for kalim and yud if you're chayev in tess, and why are we mechalik? That sounds like it is based on shem boar. I think if you take this mahav, it at least will help you to some degree, because you would say you can't make the argument b'chal masayim mana because, right, the situation of a bor yud and the situation of a bor tes, for whatever reason, this is the harder to explain part. For whatever reason, it's unusual for a kli to break in a bor tes. It's unusual for a kli to break in a bor yud. More common in a bor tes. That part is harder to explain. You come up with scenarios. You're more likely. You're gonna drop things in small holes. You're not gonna stay away from a big hole. You come up with some sort of svara. But leaving aside that difficulty, the broader point fits fairly well in the sense that you have one gzeiras hakasuv for one boar, one shame boar overall in general. But you have a difference in terms of urchei legabe kalim, which is why you don't say b'chal masayim mana, b'chal yud tes, right? That the boar tes is somehow is qualitatively different than the boar yud legabe kalim, but it's all within. It's all within one gzeiras hakasuv of boar. At least, I think a way to resolve that gemara, which your song, which seems to pull in both the shame boar and the not shame boar direction.
And you would say that again, even if you thought boar famous, but it's a nice answer, that you wouldn't say b'chal masayim mana. I thought that was a great example where, if you were trying to define what the mazik is, the nature of the mazik.
Right? Mm-hmm. The nature of the mazik, meaning...
I mean, why don't you say b'chal masayim mana?
Well, the scenario is... call it maisa, call it whatever you want. The scenario itself is a lot of work. So that, I think, would come out the same way as the shame boar people had it.
I mean, you have nezek in a boar yud, and you are going to be potter mishum kalim.
Right. Just because the situation of, again, I think the challenge here we'd have in this within this tzad in that gemara, every have a lot of challenges. The challenge we would have is explaining why it's lav urchei in yud. But
yeah.
Assuming you would come up with that, as I said, people stay away from a boar yud, so you're less likely to drop something in there. Or a boar gimel or a small boar. You're walking the surrounding, you're not so careful, you're not worried you're going to die in it, right? So you're more likely to go there and you might drop something there. That's much more okay. Assuming you come up with some svara like that, then they're qualitatively different. It's not b'chal masayim mana. One's urchei, one's lav urchei. So that was the suggestion there. In terms of shitas harambam, this is, everyone has their hezbollah in the Rambam. We'll show in a bit that all the tzadim except for the physically impossible one, people say in Rashi, some Achronim say in Rambam rather. But we'll give it a whirl anyway. recall the Rambams, let's see, what number were they? They were earlier. The Rambams were 17 and 18. On the one hand, the Rambam in Yud Beis Yud, talking about the Iker Drasha, says, that's the basically the Mishnah. Kama kedei lahamis, omek asaret tfachim, nisvi ten tfachim kedei lahamis. Sounds like Xeris Akasiv. Avom haya pachos me asar v'nachal zoha shor or shar behema chayev ofu meis pater. V'im husku chayev balan tkal nezik shalom. Chayev only nezik, not in misa. So that sounds, it doesn't give any explanation. It sounds like it's just an absolute rule and need to have kedei lahamis. On the other hand, in halacha tesvav, by the case with the tail, where the animal dies, so then if it's less than 10 tefachim, you're pater. And he says, even a small tail or a small hole, you're chayav. Shanezek bekolshehu davar matzui viadua. That's, you know, it's a common thing. It's a known thing. Ve'en amisa bekolshehu mitzuya. But amisa dying with a small boar or a small hill is uncommon. Very kamo ones. So everyone focuses on the kamo ones, but I think the Rambam does fairly clearly say nezek bekolshehu davar matzui. He focuses on matzui. And I think if you wanted to square the different Rambams, the fact he says matzui here, the fact that in the previous in Yud he says kedei lahamis, so assuming it's not an absolute gzeiras hakasuv, because you have to explain this halacha, right? He talks about onus. He talks about, so I think matzui is the perfect bridge. On the one hand, it's an absolute, more or less an absolute rule. It's a scenario. It's not a particular scenario based. Right? You don't look at the scenario and say, was he unos here? Was he not unos here? Was he poshe? You don't ask those questions. You say it's a hard rule. A boar that has kedei lahamis, you're chayev. A boar that doesn't have kedei lahamis, you're pater. So in that sense, halacha yud fits very well. And at the same time, it's kemo ones, and it's certainly about what's matzui or not, because that's the definition of urche. Right? It's not ones itself. It's kemo ones, but it's about urche. It's about the reason why the Torah made the halacha this way is because things that normally kill, you're responsible if someone dies. That's a normal damage. If it's not common, if it doesn't commonly happen, even if it happens, that's lav orche and you're pater. It's almost like you're an ones in such a scenario. So I think you can reasonably read the Rambam along with this topic. And you don't need to worry about the stira, because the two really work together. On the one hand, you're rigid in terms of implementation, but the svar itself is based on how likely it is and your responsibility, right? But not in a case-by-case basis, in a more general basis, but not in a gzeiras hakasuv, absolute rule type of way, based on the svar of Orche, which takes into account the scenario, or in general takes into account the concept of a scenario, not each particular one. Again, that's not mukhrach. I think you can read anything in the Rambam, but I think it does work well, yeah.
Perhaps in keeping with what you're saying, this conjunction we're calling roi and time, in terms of each, the Ram quotes a shur of the Gemara as to how far things go, and describes them, at least some of them, as being ain't a ruling allowed war versus ruling allowed war. That's in Perek Yudalad or Chagimel. Beforehand, explaining why the story is so, why is this true, he says, the chuli vezika patr shizo makam dishamayim. So the uya and not ruya is an arbiter of when it's you and when it's makam dishamayim. So again, what you probably have to think about then is whether in Ish, to some degree, we need to figure out. It's more obvious in Ish why Makom Dishamayim should be a poter, because Ish is more passive, it's more independent. But if Bor also, we're testing whether it's an independent act or it's related to the Korah Bor, which there's reason to think, then maybe it's exactly a conjunction. Right, it's not right, resulting in Makom Dishamayim.
Like almost like Rashi, right?
Also,
it means parallel to the second lashon in Rashi, the idea that it's lav machmas.
Right, exactly. But the Rambam doesn't use it. See, Ravula 2 weeks ago quoted us in Makom Dishamayim in a different context. It's clear the Rambam, there the Rambam is speaking about mamish ma'isadim and ma'adim and mazik. Ish is closer to that. Bor is farther from that. It's a question whether or not in Bor the correct lashon is not Makom Dishamayim but onus, but I don't know. But then it's really just shiurim in the same idea.
Right.
Yeah, that could work for kedei lahamis too, though.
I was saying I'm using Shlomo's Taich and just saying that's. I think your Shlomo is saying Rashi. I think that's around what you're doing. The Gemara Shurim tell you what's right, and the Mela, what's not right, is called Anos or Makom Dishamayim. And just use different Shlomos to just. Because you're more talking about yourself than most of myself.
Yeah.
We're going to get there, yeah. Okay, so now we'll look at a couple of additional implications of this approach in Perek Hey. Some of the two sugyas, one of which will be Igander, and then we'll get to the Rambam there. Fine, so yeah, again, thinking about Urche by Bor, and right, so the Gemara has a scenario where there's the idea of two people digging a bore and tries to figure out exactly what the, you know, what who did what and how. And so the Brisa says, Echad chover bor tisha u'ba'acher v'shlima la'asara ha'afron chayim. Rebbe Omer acher afron l'misa v'acher shnei l'nezikin. One person digs nine, a person digs the other person digs 10. That person is fully chayav, or at least fully chayav l'gabe misa. So working with the Chachamim Shita, this seems to be a big chiddush, especially if you say, like Tosfos say, Dafka hu b'shvil shechidesh misa shalachaya mitchila aval rishon ches v'zetes kulam chayavim inezikin kmo zeh yud v'zeh esrim. Tosfos say that going from 8 to 9 or going from 10 to 20, they're both going to be chayav because they're both involved in that four. But going from 9 to 10, since you're qualitatively creating something new, you're chayav. So what would this, you know, what does this sound a lot like? Which of the tzadim does this sound like offhand? Shame bor. 9 to 10 is a qualitative new thing, right? It's a panim chadash was bo'olikon or something, right? It's a whole new bor. It's not like bor is any size and you know something is more likely than something else, or something is more or less honest. It's a new shame bor. You're creating something completely new. So that, you know, this gemara would seem to be offhand, would seem to be good good support for the briskers, the shame bor people on this one, but not so pasha for a few reasons. First, not all the Rishonim actually hold like we saw in Tosfos. Not all the Rishonim hold that the qualitative difference between 9 and 10 is distinct. And all other cases, you don't have the full responsibility of the second koreh. For example, the Ra'ah in the Shita writes, he says, "V'huadin chofer bor shmona u'v'achar v'shlimo tisha achron bilvad chayav b'nezikin." Right, going from 8 to 9, the person who dug the ninth tefach is fully chayav. So, you know, number one, it may not be a din in shame bor at all. There may be no difference at all between 9 and 10. That would be one way out. But I think the other argument out is, let's say you reject that. Let's say you hold the more standard view that 9 to 10 you're chayav in everything, whereas 8 to 9 you're not. The second party is not. You could say that it's not a din in shame bor, it's a din in the responsibility of the second party. Meaning, you have to look at the relative responsibilities of each of the people who are koreh. So in general, if one person digs 8 and the other one digs the 9th tefach, there's no real qualitative difference. They're both chayav for nezikin, and so then they'll both be responsible for nezikin, they'll split it. But once you go from 9 to 10, not because it's a new shame bor, but because just lemaisa, there's more chiyuvim on account of the fact that you dug that bor bigger. So there's an additional level of responsibility by the second koreh. And for that reason, it's not that he undid the maisa of, you know, kriya of the rishon, or that, you know, it's a new bor or anything. It's just that his degree of achrayas overshadows that of the first koreh. So I think if you understand it that way, you don't need to go down the route of the shame bor. And there actually are some indications from the Gemara that it's really who dug the bor, and that really matters, as opposed to the bor itself. Meaning, you know, the achrayus of the koreh, what chiyuv of nezikin you have after your koreh is what matters, rather than the shame bor shifting. We see this in a couple of, we see this in that same sugya, where is this? Yes, 33, but the third line, the case of what I like to call bor tam. It's a little known category. So vai rava. Tam tefach v'sila gavanav mahu. Right, so if you have a bortes, and then someone sticks a rock, a tefach high rock on top of it, so now technically it's bor yud, but maybe without the full Hevel. So then what happens if you come along and you dig the bor an extra tefach deeper, tam tefach, and then see the gavan of you took away the rock. So now it's, right, so you made it deeper, but you undid it. Rashi, a chofer bor test va'acher shinu la'sara, right, the bor was only 9. You dug it, and you made it 10. V'chazer achron v'sasam v'milei achar oso tefach shehosif. You first made it deeper and then you undid it. You made it 10 and then you went back to making it 9. So the Gemara says, Mi Amrina Maida Avak Shakwe. We say you undid whatever you did, you undid it now. Odilma Nistalku Masa Rishon Mekamale Kule Bershuse Teku. Or maybe you dug it, it then became your responsibility completely, and then you're trying to claw back your tefach. It's too late. It was your responsibility. You have to take it. So the way the Gemara formulates it, certainly the most pasha way of reading this is it's not about the shame bor. It doesn't say, me I'm Rina, and you create a shame bor, and then it's all over. It says nothing about that. It's about your achrayus. It's about your maisa kriya. Maybe slightly different ways of formulating it. But since you dug the bor to be 10 tefachim, you're now responsible, and you can't lose that. The fact that your responsibility overshadows that of the first korah. And even the first side is Maida Avad Shakle. You dug it, you undug it. It doesn't seem like, it's not like you can easily move back and forth. It's not that there's any shame board. So I think this, you might have thought that this was a raya for the shame board people, but by no means are both different shittos in the Rishonim. And in terms of how you understand the sugya, there are ways out of it. On the other hand, there are, I think there are a couple of indications in the Urche direction. So the first line in 33, which this case was building on, Amar Rava, Hiniach Evan al Pia Bor, Ishlim al Asar. You have a bor test, you add a rock, and then it's a bor yud. Banu Machokes Rebbe Verabanan, that we saw before about, right? If you go from 9 to 10, are you fully responsible for everything or only for Misa? Pshita, so obviously it's the same thing. Ma'ala Kema, Lemata, Dehava, Dideka, Katile. I would have thought that since you added a tefach, but you didn't add the hevel, right? It was 9 tefachim, you added a rock. It's now 10 tefachim, but you didn't add any hevel. And if the animal dies, it's not really your hevel at all. You didn't do any, right? Hevel comes from pits, apparently. So you didn't create the, you just added a rock. You added the height, but you didn't add to the boreness, or the pit, the hevel aspect of the bore. So maybe you're completely putter. It sounds like we're being mechalek between, on the one hand, it's a bore of 10 tefachim, on the other hand, it lacks hevel, it lacks the kedei lahamis aspect, or lacks some part of that. And that's when we're mechalek between you and the other kohor, which is unusual. You think that either it has a shame bore, or it doesn't. And then at the end of the day, we say kamash malan, that we still treat it as that same ahogas Rebbe Rabbanan. Of course, you can say that we undo the havina completely, or you could retain some of the svara here. But at least this is I think the weaker indication. But it sounds like the idea of bore is not just an absolute shame bore, but it's somewhat more of a flexible thing. There's the, there's the Kedei Lahamis aspect, and there's the Hevel. I think there's a stronger indication from the Rav Shizbi. Bamine Rav Shizbi me Rabba, Hirchiva Mahu, where you have a bor, however tall it is, you don't make it any deeper, you just make it wider. So on the one hand, Amar Le Harei Mi'ed Havla, you decrease the Hevel, right, because there's more ventilation in the wider bore. Amar Le Adarav Harei Kiriv Hezeka, but you also made the Nezek more common, because it's easier to fall in. It's a bigger bore. Ella Amar Rav Ashi, Nichzi Anan, Iba Havla Mayis, Harei Mi'ed Havla, Iba Chavata Mayis, Harei Kiriv Hezeka. So Rav Ashi says, this is a very important line, that we should evaluate based on the circumstances. If he died based on the Hevel, so then you did nothing to increase the Hevel, you should be Pater. If he dies based on the fact that he banged his head or whatever, chavata, you increase the chavata factor. So now, thinking about this, it seems very much to be dependent on the maisa hezek. This is not about work, right? This depends on the exact scenario by which the person fell in. So if they fell in, right, it depends. Did they, or how they died, right? What, by what method did they die? So it would seem to be that this, you know, that we're thinking about the Maisa Hezek and Urche is what you're doing. In this case, it's not about the determining whether this boar can kill or not, but it's determining about whether your action in creating this boar makes you responsible. Did you make the boar worse or not? So you made it worse, depending on his injury, depending on how he died, you either made the boar worse or you made it better. So this seems like it's not just talking about the shame boar, or even about your achrayas, right? Because presumably your achrayas should be the same regardless of how he died. But it seems like we care about the maisa and the way in which the person died in determining how responsible you are for that. So this would seem to be, I think, a focus on the maisa of how he died. Now, of course, you can try to say that, well, there's really two shemos in bor. There's the shem chavata of bor, and there's the shem hevel of bor. You know, you could try to do something with that, but that would seem to be much more complicated than simply saying that we care about the way the maisa of bor, the way you die, in determining whether the second koreh created a worse situation or not.
Even assuming you're realizing the interpretation, that won't be, meaning this is sort of a separate nekuda. Before you were explaining the chilek between das and yod, now you're going on to show that that might also have another instantiation somewhere else. This Gemara only would show, even if it wouldn't be true in your explanation, it would only show that you could have elements of a chilek bor, which are totally on its maisa,
right?
According to Rabbi on the chilek,
right?
But it's not, and in as much as that's true, it's also like cash on the fact that those who explain the difference between tesing yod and as a shame bor. This bar is talking about a bor shel yod, yod beis, as you once said, infinite, or anything in between. And now we have a different question about being marshal. It doesn't, you weren't the shame bor, that's for sure. So you have a shame bor, which is a bor shel nameless. Then the question is, could some other factor, whether it's Yetzirah Zanazik or anything else, change the responsibility to who we apply the responsibility. But the Etzem HaDavar is not going to share those who explain that the difference between 9 and 10 is the Shem Bor.
Right, no, that's fair. The goal here was to show, aspects of Maisa Bor or other potential. Yeah, potential explanations.
So you said that the Yetzirah Zanazik, when you peel the two different Mazikim, they are one of them.
But in this particular, again, anytime you take the position of Bor, that you're a kind of a desert, not for the Maisa Hezek, but because it's Mitzura, you're Samazek, so you have to make that connection. So it doesn't make any separate shape or form. No, it could be just a contingent upon how Nezek happened. Is this Nezek Mitzura that I can Samazek or not? It does depend also on how it unfolded, but it doesn't need two shameless more for that.
Either way, I was yotzer more chavata, and I was.
Right. So was my yitzira, whatever it was. are you able to be the chayim the tashlumin for my yitzira sabar given this nezek or not?
So there are no further ha'aros. We'll move to the next sugya, where this plays itself out. And we came across hevel versus chavata. There's machlokes whether you're chayav, whether yud is memis, and that's what you're chayav for. That's only for hevel reasons. That's Rav. Shmuel says also you're chayav from chavata. Fine, nafkamina, if you fall off the hill, there's no hevel. That we saw in the Rambam a little bit. So that's the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. And we have a story with Rav Nachman. Ha'utorah denafal la'arisa didlai, an animal falls into some canal or well, and less than 10 tefachim, shachte mare, and then the owner shechted it, assuming it was kosher, tarfei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said it's not kosher because it was, well, because since you didn't check to see how long, if it lived for a day, it probably was going to die. Or we assume it might have died. So Alma Kasavar Rav Nachman Yesh Chavata B'Papos Me'Asara. The Gemara concludes. It seems like Rav Nachman holds it's possible for an animal to die of a of blunt force injury, right, chavata, based on a nekila of less than 10 tefachim, which seems to be a problem because it seemed like earlier we were saying within Shmuel you needed 10 tefachim for chavata. And then, so that's just the background. Then the next amud, the Gemara comes along and says, that Ela Hainu Tama Derv Nachman. We have a different Hezra. Savar Mikresa the Sora Laara Kamahavi Arba. Right? Or the right not the head, the stomach, the right, the height, the animal's four tefachim off the ground. I raised the Dlai Kamahavi Shisa, that little canal thing was six tefachim deep. Haasara, so the Chavata itself was 10 tefachim too. If you incorporate the height of the animal off the ground plus the boar, you get a total of 10 tefachim, which is sufficient. And that's why you could die, because you can have chavata by yud. Ishtakak, the ki kamechabet, me'asara hu de kamechabet. And then we say, elamas nisim negatani, ma bor shu kdei lahamis yud tefachim, av kol shu kdei lahamis yud tefachim, v'shisa nami sagya. Well, if that's true, then animal, four tefachim tall, can die in a bor vav. So then, what does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah is saying, you need yud tefachim. Amri mastisin di gander the boar. So the response is our mission talking about the animal rolls into the boar. So if it rolls into the boar, it's just the height of the boar. So it'd only be six tefachim, wouldn't be kedei lahamis. But the implication of that, straightforward implication of that, if you have a scenario where the animal standing up, you know, four tefachim off the ground, falls into a boar, and it's a boar vav, you'd be chayav for that. Or it could be pasnei shmuel, chavata. Presumably, that's what we would say, that you're chayav. That you're hiding for a boar vav. So that's just reading the Gemara, that's what seems to come out, although once it gets to the Rishonim, there's a bunch of different approaches. It's a bit complicated. So the tour brings down a machlokes to the other one in the rush. Echad ha'kofer boar shiach ma'ar klum shavin l'chiyuv uvad she'ibok de l'hamis ha'im yud tfachim oz chayad v'nachol shama shorach ha'mor omeis ohuzak v'im ein bo yud ein o chayav al-misa afilo shenachol bo ha'shorach mu'umad. Even if he falls standing up, that's right, our case. But inen sheyesh bo gova yud tefachim im nitzarif gova ragli ashor im omek habor. So that's the shita, right? If the boar is six tefachim, the animal is four tefachim off the ground, 10 tefachim you're chayev, aval harama kasa v'zeh shechayev. Right, using your putter, right, the Rama says you're chayev in such a case. But then you have your rashzal kasa v'kisvar rishona, that you're putter in such a case. Right. So the question is, does the boar always need to be 10 tefachim, even if the animal's off the ground, or as long as the as long as there's a total 10 tefachim from the animal's height to the bottom of the boar, you're chayiv. So the Beis Yosef explains the rush. Kasev Arash, Del Shon, Kasev Rav Alphas, Hilchos Kerav. Surprisingly, the way he gets out of this, right, that seems to be against the Gemara, he holds like Rav that we don't hold the chavata. Or the other way is to go is to hold like Shmuel. Rav Nachman, the Mukim Asisim Yigandur Yigandure Savar Kishmuel. Right, and right, Rav Nachman obviously holds like Shmuel. The Rav of Rav Yo, but we don't hold like that, right? So that Gemara that sounds like you're chayev by a boar that's six. If you're four tefachim tall, that's holding like Shmuel. We don't paskin like Shmuel. That's how the Rush would get out of it. So that's one way out. We're going to see the Rashba has a different approach. But the Rash says we paskin like Shmuel, and of course that means what it means. We just don't paskin like it. But just thinking a bit, about the study here. If you think about Shem Bor, that doesn't really work well at all with the Shita that you're chaya for a Bor above with the animal before talking off the ground. It really wouldn't seem to work. It's not about the boar, it's about how high the animal is off the ground. The other tzadim seem to work just fine, right? If it's about what scenario can an animal die, or about how anus are you, then anus, you maybe have to take into account more scenarios, that would be more complicated, but those seem to work fine with this shita, but fine. So now we get to the Rashba. And we mentioned the Rashba before as one of the early parts of the Rashba seem to go with Svar of anus. So the Rashba raises an interesting scenario. Hadikam Rabbi Kreis la'ara kama habudal. Lav davka. It's not necessarily 6 + 4. The tfei midalad vada ika. Right. Even there's some animals that are even taller. And then the boar would be right. Even if you have a boar that was smaller than 6 and an animal taller than 4, as long as it adds up to 10. Afilu nafal chafira pachos mishisha chayev. V'chashinu le'mishum treifa. Find that. That's the other part of the story. happens to be in that scenario, the amas hamayim and amas six tefachim. That's how high it happened to be. So what the Rosh was saying, this has major ramifications. Like, if your bore is, like 1 inch deep, and an animal falls, then you're chayav. Or makes you wonder, what if it's you're in the air? Let's say you're reasonably in the air and you fall onto the ground. To what extent, if you move dirt around, does there need to be a bore per se? You sort of rearrange the dirt. It raises interesting questions. It's not clear exactly where the Rashba would go. I'm sure that's a whole sugya for another time. But at the very least, it sounds like the Rashba, you could have made the argument that, well, we're talking about a bore vav, because vav is rove of yud. It's like a rove, you're so mitzari if the fourth fuck in the air. And it would have been difficult to do, but certainly the Rashba isn't even going in that direction at all. He's saying it's, as long as there's any bore, it sounds like, it doesn't seem like there's any limit. As soon as there's any bore, and you add up the height of the animal off the ground with the bore, and that's then you'll be chayav for chavata in those cases. And that's the first Rashba, really, and I think it fits well. We'll see the next piece talks about onus explicitly. If you think it's about onus, that would make sense, because whatever you dug, the scenario that you created, to what extent is it your fault? It may depend on if the animal falls in a way that would normally injure it or not. But as the Rashi is going to point out, this is more complicated. Masnisin, the igander, igandure. Mistabrali, the love of the memory of the masnisin, the tani asara, the hayukusame asara, davka, the igander, igandure, anafal kedarke, afilu bishisa sagya, leave the shmul. Don't say, what we were suggesting was pshat in the Gemara, don't say that the conclusion of our Gemara is that the Mishnah is not true in all cases. That if you're four tefachim tall, you fall into a bor vav, that you'd be chayav in such a case. It's not true. To im kain lifvog nusim b'dida, the Mishnah should have spelled that out much more clearly. The Mishnah said, bor needs to be 10 tefachim if you're rolling in, and if you're falling in, then it needs to be 10 tefachim for the fall. It doesn't say that. It should have said that. Ve'od de im kein afilu igander v'nafal asok shisha umeis lichayev. Havet chasam shiyev lemahalik kedarko v'sofa ba'ones beginder v'lichayev. Right, that we have a real problem here of chasam shiyev v'sofa ba'ones, because right, if your bor vav, an animal that's walking, an animal that's 4 tefachim tall, dies, your chayev. So even if they die, die after rolling in, you should be chayev, right? Regardless of the fact that we usually say ones, it's not your fault for an animal to die in that unusual scenario. But if tchasu b'shiva sofa ones, you should be chayev. Ve'od sharei, and now he's already moving towards his answer. Sharei bor borksiv echad the misa ve'echad the nezikin. Right, quoting that Yerushalmi or Medrash, as we saw in Tosfos. So Arina ma bor yesh bo kedei l'hamis asara, alma bor shel nezikin eno shel misa. Right, there's a real fundamental difference between the two boros. It's not just that one, one kills more frequently than the other. It's a real different shame bor. Vim isa shel nezikim shel misa kol echad u'kishenafal b'kedarka. Right, according to the way you would want to read the Gemara based on the Mishnah based on the Gemara's maskana, there's really one bor. Bor height doesn't matter. What matters is the scenario. Is there a total of 10 tefachim of a nefila? Verov shvarim cherishot v'kata noflim heim. Fine, right? Assuming that you're only chayv racherishot v'katan, sure, then they're all going to be falling anyway. Kedarkan, hiluchan v'older kinder. They're not rolling in; they're walking in because they're blind or whatever. That comes up in the Gemara too. Blind, sure. Gives these examples, whatever. They're not fully functional shvarim. That they'll fall. They'll walk right in. They're not rolling in. Elanerly hakeberush the masnisin. Right, he comes out that the whole the chiva Torah is only a boar that always kills, and this is a very good proof to the shame boar, and that's how it, right, it needs to be something that's definitionally a boar that'll always kill, whether it rolls in, whether it falls in, it'll always kill. That's the, or at least always potentially killing. Right, you have to hedge that a little bit. And that's the shame boar that you're chayav for. A small boar, you're not. The Rashba obviously starts out on an ones paradigm and ends up in a shame boar paradigm. How would Rashi respond to some of these questions? So if we're working with our mahalach, Rashi obviously is not working with ones. Rashi is working with the urche paradigm. And you know, so the question of tchilas v'pshia v'sofa ba'ones isn't really relevant, right? It's not like we're not saying it on the violin of the boar, right? Oh, you should be more careful. But this wasn't really your fault. You should be more careful generally. Right? It's not, that's far as not relevant at all. So the Rashba's question here for Rashi wouldn't have a problem with chasu shiva sofa ba'ones. And in terms of the Mishnah, you know, the Mishnah, you want the Mishnah to spell it out more. The Mishnah was pretty clear. If the whole point of the Mishnah is to teach you that you know what urche is, we're talking about we're talking about the definition of boar, and you know, especially we're talking about Maisa Nefila, the Maisa Nezek, the standard definition of boar as regards the Maisa Nezek would be 10 Tfachim. Again, as discussed, we don't need that's not the only way to read that Rashi, even within Urche, but if you do read Rashi like that, the Rashba's questions are somewhat weaker. Now, the Rambam, Shitas HaRambam on this is interesting, because, right, if you read the Rambam basically paskins the Mishnah. He says the boar needs to be 10 tefachim. He doesn't talk about any difference in Igunder, even though, as we said, the maskana of the Gemara sounds like a boar vav and a shor that's 4 tefachim tall, you'd be chayav. But the Rambam doesn't paskin like that. He just says you're chayav for a boar of yud, so does the Rambam just reject the Gemara out of hand? So there are a lot of different hasbarim, and, you know, he theoretically could say that paskins, you know, the Gemara goes like, no, we don't paskin like, he could say, you say all sorts of things, but I just found very interesting that in the Achronim, as they try to resolve the Rambam, they give there three different Mahalkim in the Lamdas overall that are used to explain the Rambam. Just first, before we get to that, I neglected to mention this before, that the resolution between the two Rambams, that some people say, why does the Rambam just bring down the Gzeres HaKasuv by Halacha Yud, and in Halacha Tesvav with the mound, the case of falling off the mound, he says that it's kimo ones. So some say there's really two dinim. By a real boar, a pit in the ground, then you have a shame boar, and that's a real gzeres hakasuv. Whereas the mound, there's no shame boar for that. That may tie into hevel. It'll be interesting. There's no shame boar there. Then there's just a ptur ones. That's what some of the achronim say. The Rambam has two dinim. In any event, that would solve the Rambam there, and then you'd have a bit of a hybrid Rambam with both a din of ones, more or less your standard din ones in that particular scenario. The problem is the Rambam does talk about a boar there too. Yeah, I wasn't really sure what they, you know, that's not the main point of the Rambam there. Yeah, I wasn't sure what to do with that, but yeah.
That's why you're dealing in the Washington before ones also. I mean, it's the same matter. It's not enough.
Yeah.
In fact, that's a mission thing. The oven, this quasi toldo or a different application, because your dealing is that the Washington Matzah or.
Bro.
Yeah, but Chol Shul Metzuya is right there in
this tale. I'm just pointing that out because some people give that Hesber there, and that's will be similar to the Hesber here that the Rambam holds Shem Bor. The Rav Aryeh Leib has a nice long essay on this topic in general. One of the things he says, I'm not going to read the whole piece, maybe halfway through this paragraph, it's not about ones, it's about the in the Rashba. We saw that, we went through that Rashba. The Bor Sheim Okli Lahamis Ainu Bor Klalamisa. Mashma dehu patur v'chol ofen af below yigander v'zeo kadas harashba. So the one way of solving for the Rambam, if you say the Rambam really holds, is din in the shame boar, so then he holds like the Rashba, that you need a boar that's always mamis. That's how you read the maskana of the Gemara, and that's how the Rambam will come out, just like the Rashba. And again, interesting, you have both the ones lashon that Rabbi Leib says is just a side point, and then the real tzad is the shame boar. So that's one way of reading the Rambam, one way of resolving the Rambam. I think maybe the most common among Achronim is to say the Rambam holds the Shem Bor. There's a Yamshel Shlomo that, as far as I can tell, is quoted in different ways by different Achronim, and I didn't look up the original. Don't want to ruin the, you know, the suspense, and you know, you don't want to... Anyway, maybe I'll like, look after. But different two other ways of resolving the Rambam that go in different directions, even though both seem to be invoking the Yamshel Shlomo. The Or Sameach here... Echad Achoper, he talks about Igander, Avagav Deleka, Mande Cholik, Al Rav Nachman, Ve'anire, maybe also about halfway down, the Nechsi, the Avbi, Igander Umeis, Vibor Shisha Tvachim, Yishai, Vishim Tchilas Vabshia, Vesofa Ba'ones. He asks the Rashba's question, Deposheahu, Mipo, the Kolas Kufa, Itzarach Lomar, the Rav Nachman Sover, Kimanda Amar, Tchilas Vabshia, Vesofa Ba'ones, Pater. So Rav Nachman must hold, Tchilas Vabshia, Vesofa Ba'ones, Pater. Avaldi Dan, the Chayav, Leisalad Rav Nachman, but we hold that Chaz Roshiyah V'Sofa Ba'ones Chayav, and that's how he solves the Rambam. The Gemara wasn't bringing up that side, that's working within Rav Nachman, who I guess held that Chita, but we hold Chaz Roshiyah V'Sofa Ba'ones Chayav. So what's the, according to that, it sounds like the whole Mechayav here, the whole Ptur here is based on Ones. The Rambam holds it's all based on Ones, and with the additional angle of Chaz Roshiyah V'Sofa Ba'ones Chayav, so really at the end of the day it's all about a Bor Yud. I think this is more or less what Moshe and Moshe was being suggested earlier. So the Or Sameach seems to take your reading of the Rambam. That's why you're always going to be chayav for a Bor Yud, and right, that really taking the Ones angle. And then the Evan HaAzel, comes out slightly differently. The Rambam ends up holding like the Rashba, the Ladina, but Lav Mitame. So he writes a Rambam the Pasak Kishmuel, Komakam Pasak Gloker of Nachman, whom he should the Lishna Basra. So I guess I should give more background. He has a long discussion where he talks about whether a person, whether an animal can die from a chavat of yud or not. And it like ties into all sorts of other sugyos and trifos, and obviously that shaykh to hear, and other sugyos as well. And what he comes out with is that you have to be choshesh for it, but so by dine shchita you have to be makbid, but by dine mamonos or shenachamras you don't have to be. So udas rush kasav l'inyan trefos and the naftina kedush nabasra kisfar the mikreis the sora aval. That's for hilchos trefos. We're worried about ten tefachim. Aval le'inyan tashlumin lo mukmina masnisim biyigandu lebor ubederach harashba. He ends up holding like the Rashba for a different reason. Al shkaz of tam acher dal yedei svarad mikreis of the sora eno matzui chavat demisa. Le'inyan trefos machmerina. Aval le'inyan tashlumin lebor kim eno matzui misa pater. So, at least I think the way to read this is that he says that an animal dying from this scenario of falling to a horse above, when it's dalad tefachim tall, is it's eno matzui, it's uncommon. So by hilchos shechita, you should be machmir. By dine mamonos, whether you're chayv to the person or not, you're not going to be chayv because it's eno matzui. So, you know, my suggestion is this is that at least we can understand the Evan HaAzel is saying the Rambam holds that the whole mahalach here is about dark, you know, urche, and it's not dark mahalach, it's eno matzui. Uncommon that the animal would die, and that's not just Ones or something else, but that's a real hafka of the chiyav, and maybe that's the svara in general for bor tes. That's after all, that's what he's talking about. That's talking about why you're putter by a bor tes, even though the animal fell from more than yud tefachim, because it's eno matzui lav urche.
The fact that animal doesn't usually fall in, that's why you're puter. It's not so much having to do with your lack of maisa kriyas habor. It's much more from the fact of that the calf doesn't normally fall in.
Right.
You say the fourth thing, Chad, many account for this halacha, but I think it's maybe a little harder. You could have said possible.
I think it fits very well. Yeah.
I wouldn't have those words as implying much more connected to Maisa, to Ma'onas, as opposed to if you think it's connected to it's less a shambor or something like that, where you say.
Right. So you're saying it's even better. For those in the room who want to connect the Maisa to the Urche, that would work very well, is what you're saying. I wouldn't want to support such people.
Because of the calf not
wasn't a lack of, it wasn't pagam in my advice, it was pagam in the fact that they don't usually follow it.
Right, meaning it's not about onus. It's not about onus at all. It's about the metzias out there, what's what's ragil, what's not, what's urche, what's not urche. And what, you know, what's a, I mean, it's not quite in the mice itself. It's what, you know, what mice will happen, what mice won't happen.
You have your split, Orchai, a little bit from the mice. That's our roof. Orchai being the roof.
I hear. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you for that, Hara, as well. No, but that's, yeah, that's interesting.
Okay. Who's next?